welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, the 10th of October, 2011. Today is the official celebration of Columbus Day. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, and if you're off today, your weekend is still continuing. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show, of course, is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of previous programs. Plus, The Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. The Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. Today's lineup includes our Monday political face-off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. At the bottom of the hour, it's a preview of the 38th edition of the Tucson Meet Yourself, also commonly known as Tucson Eat Yourself. Then we'll be talking nutrition with nutrition reporter Jack Chalom to close out the show. Nutrition and Tucson Meet Yourself, I guess. Yeah, that
Indian fry bread and tofu. Yeah. That ought to be a great combo.
Should be fun. Buckmaster Show encourages you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll free 1-866-725-5467. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Every Monday, we kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off featuring one of our two teams of commentators. This week, it's Bruce Ash, the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, former chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County and the current vice chair of the party. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's is located next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Paul and Bruce, good to see you, gentlemen.
Yeah, good morning.
On Thanks, this Bill. Columbus Day. And let's begin today with Paul. Paul, how do you see this upcoming city election? And I'll put a plug in here for our October 21st radio exclusive. We'll have the three candidates for mayor of the city of Tucson here. We'll spend the whole hour with them on Friday, October 21st. How do you see this race?
Well, I think the Democrats are going to do very well in this race, mainly because we have good candidates. The two races in the city council race that are up is Shirley Scott, who's the incumbent, and Paul Cunningham, who's running his first race, but he was appointed to take Rodney Glassman's place. Both very pro-business-oriented Democrats. I think that's what we need right now in this town is a move towards sustainable economy in the future, good jobs. And if they've gotten all the endorsements from police and fire to even Paul Cunningham got the Chamber of Commerce endorsement, which is unusual for a Democrat. And then Jonathan Rothschild, who is running as the mayoral candidate, maybe the first time since, well, it's been 12 years since a Democrat's been in the mayor's office. And Jonathan's very much a pro-business Democrat as well. He ran a business law firm and I think has good ideas for economic development and is all of them fairly moderate in their political views, which I think fits the town. And it is a Democratic registration advantage. And they've all raised a decent amount of money and should be able to run real good campaigns in the last month here.
So Paul Eckerstrom predicts there'll be actually four Democrats. All four will survive.
Yes. Yep.
Bruce Ash, I have heard you say just the opposite to that, that the three Republicans on the ballot will win.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would first take issue with what Paul states as Jonathan Rothschild's pro-business philosophy. He may be pro-business, but on this station, In fact, just last week, Jonathan stated, without any prompting, this was not a question, he asserted this on his own, that the public sector was more important than the private sector, and that the private sector was here essentially to provide the taxation for the public sector.
He didn't say that.
If you go to the link on Wake Up Tucson, you'll hear exactly that. I couldn't believe it when I heard it myself. And I think that really speaks volumes for where Jonathan will continue to take the city of Tucson. It's going to be the same old that we've had here for many, many years. And it's going to be a small number of people who are going to be controlling where Tucson goes without any sort of compromise for expansion of our business community. The city council can talk all they want about wanting to be pro-business or being pro-business. You have to be pro-business, and just look around Tucson and you see how pro-business the city of Tucson is.
I'll say one thing. The Democrats have very competent candidates. The Republicans do not. I'll just tick them off. Rick Grinnell is out there talking about wanting to have trash pickup every 2 weeks instead of every 1 week. That ain't pro-business because you can't have smelling trash in your behind your restaurant if you're going to run a restaurant business.
I think state law actually would prohibit that.
It does. It does. And that shows you he doesn't even understand what is legal or not. And the other thing is Tyler Vogt, who's running against Shirley Scott, got all the city emails through a FOIA request, and then he sends out to the city employees a request for funding of his campaign on city employee time, which is illegal under the city ordinances. The man doesn't even know what the city ordinances say about campaigning and how you can do that. Now, and then Jennifer Rousen, at the same time, who's running against Paul Cunningham, does a scam to get city election clean election matching money by getting people to give her the maximum amount of a contribution and on the same day give money back to them once it's been put in her book so she could get city election campaign money. Again, illegal, but more importantly, she doesn't understand the ins and outs of city law.
She did, incompetent. She did apologize, said she made a mistake.
Let me address some of the issues that Paul makes. There's a little-known fact that former city council person Rodney Glassman is trying to broker a deal today to sell the city trash franchise to Waste Management, who he now represents. The current Democrat majority on the city council who's negotiating this doesn't want this to get out before the election, but that's what's going on right now. Secondly, let's talk about Shirley Scott. This is a 60-
By the way, I'd be very surprised if anybody goes for that because the city runs the trash thing, trash garbage with a garbage fee, and it's very well run. It's efficient, much more efficient than if Waste Management came in. So if they did do that, Bruce, I'd be very much against them on that issue.
The sanitation department, as well as wastewater and so on, is embroiled in lots and lots of controversy. This has been going on for years, and there's no end in sight. Let's talk about Shirley Scott for a second. This is a 16-year, the most senior member of the Tucson City Council. Shirley Scott has voted for and championed every single harebrained Rio Nuevo project. Her fingerprints are all over the ill-fated Garfield Traub Convention Hotel. She has only to show $230 million expenditures, a whole downtown on the other side of the railroad tracks, and an entrance that nobody really cares about to the Tucson Community Center. This is 16 years of failed city government. And what do the constituents in her ward get? Little or nothing, because she has been rolled repeatedly by the likes of Nina Traceoff and Karen Ulich and Regina Romero. When it comes to getting things for her ward, forget it. It just doesn't happen. And Shirley has a failed record.
I disagree with that.
Regina runs unopposed, so you know I won't pick on Regina, but every time she opens up her mouth, you sort of know the level of expertise that flows.
And for the record, she does have an opponent, and it is a Green Party candidate. Go ahead.
My apologies.
Okay. Shirley Scott has been at odds with a lot of things that this city council has done over the years, especially on Rio Nuevo.
And voted for every single one of them.
Yeah, okay, Bruce. I mean, the Republicans controlled the city council in the early 2000s with with one Democratic vote that turned into an independent vote with Carol West. And they're the ones that put in all the – laid the groundwork for all the mess in Rio Nuevo.
Paul, let me finish, Bruce.
The other thing about Shirley Scott is, unbeknownst to Bruce, she has brought a lot back to her ward, and that's why she's very popular. She wins a ward that is Republican registration advantage. She wins that ward every time she runs. She gets the highest votes of any city council person every time she runs, and I predict she'll do the same thing, especially given the fact that Tyler Vogt seems to not understand how to follow the law
when it comes to email. Are you saying she'll win easily?
She'll win easily, yes.
When the indictments come out from the FBI investigation after this election, and it'll be after the election because the city of Tucson has obfuscated and blocked nearly all of the requests for information that have taken place, even with a federal law enforcement agency. When this is all finished, we'll see the cheerleader that Shirley Scott has been for all of the harebrained and probably illegal activities that this city has engaged in almost on the basis of racketeering.
So now you're saying the whole city council has been involved in racketeering and fraud.
I'm saying that the FBI is investigating that right now.
You're just basically saying we can expect indictments
after this election.
Oh, yeah, right. And is that going to include the Republicans around the council as well during those years?
You know what? Let the chips fall where they may. But these are the guys that are running the city.
It's 12:16. This seems like a logical point to take a break on the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is with us and Paul Ekstrom. We're talking about the upcoming city election. We will continue right after this. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com. Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
It's 12:21 on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging service, and hanging systems. Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We continue now with the Monday Political Face-Off. The draft congressional map adopted last week by the Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission contains some big changes. Bruce Ash, let's begin with you on this, then we'll hear from Paul Eckerstrom. Republicans not at all happy with these proposed congressional district lines.
Well, Bill, let me, and Paul, let me take off my Republican hat for a second and just put on my hometown hat, being from here in Tucson and a lifelong resident of Pima County. I think that the result of the congressional redistricting draft, it's still a draft form right now, it does not bode well for anybody, any of the counties south of the Gila. It is possible that we will only have one representative from here in the Tucson area. It's very possible that this rural district that extends all the way from Flagstaff down into Cochise County won't be a Southern Arizonan. And although we all know Raul Grijalva is the congressperson today, the way that that district has been drawn, it's possible in the future that future Congress representation could come out of Maricopa County as well. When you couple these facts with how the legislative maps, which are in an earlier draft form right now, with lesser representation, fewer legislative districts emanating out of Pima County, I think that this really does strike a dramatic, some ominous sort of overtones for the next 10 years. And it's going to be tougher for Pima County, tougher for Southern Arizona to come back economically as a result of it. And what has resulted is up north, some Republican incumbents got pads to their already pretty cushy leads, and we have a new district that's been formed where Kirsten Sinema or David Shapira are likely to come out as the successors, because it looks like a pretty strong Democrat district. And putting my Republican hat on again, that gives somebody like Sinema or Shapira a great platform to perhaps run for governor in 14 or later in 18.
Yeah, I don't disagree with Bruce in that the population increases elsewhere at a higher rate than Tucson has created a situation where we're going to have less input at the state legislative level because we're going to basically lose half or maybe even three quarters of a district that we had here before. Basically, we only have four legislative districts in the Pima County area. In the congressional districts, actually, there was another map that would have been even worse in terms of shifting power in specifically Raul Grijalva's district into Phoenix. The map that's there presently got changed a bit and has shifted it back where Tucson still has enough votes to control that congressional district, but it isn't a given, as Bruce said, and that's unfortunate because we want that representation coming from Tucson, not from Phoenix. I mean, I remember the last time that district, before the last census, it was heavily skewed towards Ed Pastor, who was from Phoenix, and he was our congressman in that district from down here, and he didn't pay any attention to Tucson compared to Phoenix. And so I think there is that danger, but the reality is the population growth has been more in Maricopa County and Pinal County and Yavapai County and places like that than there has been in Pima.
Well, Paul, you mentioned Pinal County. This is a county that really, really was treated, I think, extraordinarily unfairly in this whole redistricting, because certainly Pinal County sort of deserved, if you will, a congressional district that emanated from there.
But it's in this giant maze. I've got the map right in front
of
me.
I know it is.
And we're both looking at it right now, Paul or mm-hmm. Bruce. And you've got this District 2, which mm-hmm. is basically Tucson. And then if you go just a bit north, you've got this giant congressional District 1, where Pinal County would be in.
Well, and with population growth that had occurred in that area, you would have thought that the lines would have been drawn differently so that there would have been a more central Arizona district, and there wasn't. And unfortunately, that again, I think, erodes some of the power base for southern Arizona. And if I can talk maybe again with my Republican hat on for a second, as far as the whole concept of the Independent Redistricting Commission, I think the process that has unfolded here really demonstrates the weakness in the current system. To have so much power really vested in one person, in the independent chairman, I think leads to some of the problems that have been brought up and are likely a concern. And Paul, perhaps in the next redistricting commission would be a concern for the Democrats as well if the shoe were on the other foot.
And it was in the last time when Steve Lynn was the independent on the commission. And I don't necessarily disagree with that, Bruce, but I think it's a much better system than having the legislators draw up their own maps, and that's always a problem because then you have the politicians drawing their own districts. I think that's dangerous. The other thing I would say is the concern I have is we need competitive districts. The more competitive districts means
that's not what the Constitution necessarily says. There's 8 different tests.
Well, I know, but one of them. That's one of them, and that's important, and it's important for this reason, because we have a tendency, if they're uncompetitive districts, to get extreme people coming out of the low turnout primary races. It's very important, and my concern with these congressional district maps and the legislative district maps, I guess we're getting a little bit more competitive than before, which is a good thing. The congressional district maps basically are there's 4 solid uncompetitive Republican districts, 2 solid uncompetitive Democratic districts, and 3 only competitive districts. And I think I wish that was maybe another extra congressional district in there that's competitive, because I think that drives our politics away from the center and more towards the extremes because of those primaries where the activists who vote in those primaries don't have to pay attention to voting for a more moderate voice to get elected in the general election if it's an uncompetitive district.
Democrats would like to have more competitive districts because they look at that as a potential win.
No, not necessarily, Bruce. I think this is a Republican registration advantage in this state. That's always going to be the case in terms of the legislature being controlled by the Republicans. It's a matter of the tone. It's a matter of whether we have extremists running the state or whether we have a more moderate voice that represents the public, that really is more moderate, right of center.
There are plenty of people who feel the Democrats in this state are extremists. Look, here's probably the thing to keep in mind.
I didn't, by the way, did you hear me? I said it pushes it both ways on the extreme end. I think that's a bad thing.
30 seconds, wrap-up comments.
Well, what I'd like to see is the legislature and the governor looking at reform, perhaps to take some of the power away from the independent chairman to spread that out, perhaps have a larger redistricting panel, or perhaps revise the entire format.
That's going to, yeah. Paul, quick, you...
I could see making a change like that where you have more members, and so you won't have as concentrated power in one or three or five people.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, next to Copenhagen at Fort Lawn Dodge and at moesgallery.com. They specialize, well, in custom frame mirrors, art for your wall, picture framing and hanging systems and service. They've been around and family run since 1985.
Go to Moe's. It's cool.
It is cool. I was over to see Moe on Saturday. Moe is a real good guy, and he knows what he's doing. Tucson, meet yourself. We'll be talking about it next after the break. This is the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Hopes for a solution to Europe's debt crisis have sent stocks sharply higher in both Europe and the U.S. The French and German leaders said yesterday they're coming up with a proposal to strengthen European banks. The Army's top general says plans to slash Pentagon spending by $450 billion will force the Army to consider cutting combat brigades. At least 10 people are dead in a string of explosions in Iraq today, and the spiritual leader of Egypt's Coptic Christians has declared 3 days of mourning, praying, and fasting following the country's worst violence since the uprising that ousted Hosni Mubarak as a leader of Egypt. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 243 points. The Nasdaq is ahead 54. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at SierraSunControl.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
coming up now on 34 past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and of course our simulcast partners in Douglas and Globe, and wherever you are listening to the Buckmaster Show today throughout Southern Arizona. You do want to get to Tucson this weekend, because this is the big signature event for the city of Tucson. It is Tucson Meet Yourself, and for 38 years, Tucson Meet Yourself has brought together not only the people of this community, but really people from all over the world who have come to this event, and there's so many different ethnic varieties of food that you will not believe. In fact, the nickname for Tucson Meet Yourself is Tucson Eat Yourself. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Mia Hansen, the Executive Director of Tucson Meet Yourself, and we're also delighted to have Dr. Mirabel Alvarez, the Board Chair for Tucson Meet Yourself. Dr. Alvarez heads up the famed Southwest Folklore Center at the University of Arizona. Ladies, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us, Bill.
Thank you.
Mia Hansen, we'll begin with you. This is kind of a newer and better edition, I think, could be kind of the headline for Tucson Meet Yourself this
year.
Well
said, Bill. And it's newer, bigger, better. But, you know, for a couple of years now, we've expanded the festival. Thanks to the wonderful, you know, groundwork that Big Jim Griffith, who's been a guest on your show many times.
Big friend Jim. Of Big Jim, and we want to congratulate him for his big award. And right. He'll be honored this year, right, upcoming Saturday.
He will. Actually, Marty Bell can speak to that a little bit. We're having a Hats Off to Big Jim at part of the festival. It'll be a special tribute to Jim's work in the Fox Theater.
The award that Jim received from the National Endowment for the Arts is the highest award that a folklorist can receive in the United States for service. The National Heritage Fellowships are mostly granted to performers themselves, artists, folk artists, musicians, tradition bearers, as we call it in my business. And they have reserved one award for someone who advances that work, who documents it, researches, and promotes it. And we are so thrilled that Jim got it this year. It's a competitive award. It's nominated by your peers in the field, vetted by a committee of other folklorists who decide, yes, this is a person who represents us. And we're really excited. It's a big honor for a career that has been, you know, the thing about folklore that is funny is that it's always local, you know. you become embedded in the cultures that you are researching and know. So to have this added dimension of the national recognition and the light that it shines on us is fantastic.
And the event is going to be free as part of the festival. The whole festival is free, by the way, in downtown. And I guess just to say, to start with, it's this Friday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And our Hats Off to Big Jim tribute is a special event in the Fox Theater starting at 6 p.m. on Saturday night, just about an hour. And everyone's welcome to come down and take their hats off to Big Jim. And we have some
Big
really
Jim is the founder of Tucson Meet Yourself. We should point that out for folks that that don't know that Big Jim really came up with this idea, and it has just grown and grown and grown, hasn't it?
It has. Some of the special guests who will be tributing and coming to town include some members of the Ronstadt family. In fact, Linda Ronstadt's going to be in town and going to be giving Jim a little tribute herself there at the Fox Theater. So, and the Ronstadt, some of the original Ronstadt trio, Linda and Susie and Peter, are going to be playing and singing a song in tribute to Jim's legacy. But the festival has just exploded, I think, is one way to say it. This year we're doubling our footprint like we did last year. We take place all over the downtown in six square blocks, 60 acres, starting with El Presidio Park on the north side, which is right by the City Hall and the old Pima County Courthouse. We also utilize the old Pima County Courts area as a wonderful folk arts demonstration area with hands-on folk arts and crafts. We use the Hakame Library Plaza outside the main public library, and our theme there this year is traditions of health and wellness, things that keep you you healthy and fit. We'll have acupuncture and yoga and Zumba and Roomba and all sorts of fun activities.
And TUSD is involved.
Absolutely. So down over the bridge into the TCC Plaza, we're partnering with Tucson Unified School District, TUSD, on Saturday, October 15th. They'll bring their entire Festival of Schools to our festival in a wonderful collaboration of, you know, just celebrating what's great about TUSD. And all the kids will get a passport to the world, so they'll be able to explore the whole festival and collect stamps from all the people that they meet. It'll be really fun.
Mirabel, talk a little bit about the Sonora. There is something new this year, the Sonoran Pavilion. This is kind of your baby. You're very proud of this. You've been doing a lot of research in Sonora, kind of following in the footsteps of Big Jim. That was one of course, Jim's areas of it, is one of his areas mm-hmm. of interest. Tell me a little bit about the Sonoran Pavilion.
You know, there has always been a very strong presence of Sonora in the festival, but last year the board amended the mission statement of the organization to specifically reflect that the desire to document, research, and present the traditional cultures of the region, which of course is our desert region, is our Sonoran desert region, is our borderlands, is all these words that we use for them. But when you peel the layers away, like an onion of our relationship with these Sonorans, and you go, and like Mia did with some of our Tucson Meet Yourself folks, to Hermosillo, Magdalena, Imuris, all these towns that are only miles away from where we live, you see that they are so interested in the culture of Tucson. They feel part of what happens here, and we should feel part of what happens there. And we're going to have a presence. It's an experiment in a way. I think we want to let people know that too. We are inviting a combination of entrepreneurs and people who do some of the traditional arts together with some of the people who do tourism and promotion. It's multi-stranded in terms of the relationships, and we are going to make an effort to be neighborly, which, as Jim likes to say.
It's going to be wonderful. You know, we also have expanded our Oodham and Yoemi artist area. We have something like 45 to 50 folk artists who are going to be demonstrating beautiful crafts from, right here in our region and further south from the Rio Sonora Valley, Banamichi. We're going to have a beautiful folklorico group coming up. And we have a kind of a new element, too. We're going to be tasting some bacanora, which is the beautiful distilled spirit. Yes, a little bit of alcohol. And Tucson Meet Yourself. Only because we're going to curate it, of course. But you can taste some bacanora in the Rio Sonora area.
It's 12:41 on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about the 38th edition of Tucson Meet Yourself. And we don't really say annual, do we? Because was there one year in there we didn't have a Tucson Meet Yourself? Or?
Well, we might have had a little hiatus for a while, it has been going in one form or another for 38 years.
Nearly 40 years. And I wonder, Mia Hansen, if other cities across the country have looked to Tucson Meet Yourself as perhaps a model for this type of festival.
You know, I get phone calls these days, and we are sort of patterned after the Smithsonian's American Folklife Festival, which happens in the nation's capital every year. And I was back there this year, and it was wonderful to meet with the Smithsonian folks, who all said, "Oh, how's Tucson Meet Yourself and Big Jim, and say hi, we love what you do." So we're well known across the country, really, for presenting a pretty unique and it's the fact that we have so many ethnicities here, cultural groups who are the presenters, who are the people who come out and participate. We don't import these folks. They all live right here. I think this year we've counted up almost 85 different ethnic or folk cultural groups that are coming out either to share their food, their music, their dance, their folk arts, or their everyday expressions. And that's pretty unique. So we are pretty well known. And
So you would say we're pushing nearly 100 different cultures that are represented.
You know, that blows people away.
It really does. That's unbelievable.
And when we tell them that what this means is that each one of these groups represent themselves. We didn't go out there and say, "Hey, you, wear this costume and we will put a little show about you." These are people who said, "This is my culture, this is my heritage, I want to be a part of it." Sometimes it's just like 6 or 7 families from Colombia that have lived in Tucson for the last 30 years. But they have a little Colombian community. They remember their homeland. They are Americans, of course. They are Tucsonans. Mm-hmm. But they have their memory, their music, their food. And like that, reproduce that 100 times. Mm-hmm. We have Croatians, we have Jamaicans, we have
Japanese this year. First time for Japanese food in the festival.
And we've always had the Swedish community and the Danish community.
The Danes, I'm a Dane, of course. Yeah.
So it's even this kind of bland things that people call the mainstream.
Yes.
At Tucson Meet Yourself, it's not just mainstream, it's actually people connected to particular heritage, even if those heritage are European.
Mirabel and Mia, there are people from all over Southern Arizona who are listening to this program outside of the Tucson area. Perhaps they would like to come, Mia, and sample this. What kind of advice, how do they approach something this diverse with 85 different groups? Yeah. What advice would you give to them?
Well, first of all, go to our website. There's a lot of information there. We've just posted our entire festival schedule of events and our lists of participants, and it's on our website at www.tucsonmeetyourself.org. We also have information about parking and how to get here. You know, it's just a few blocks from Interstate 10. So come down. We only close down one little tiny area of Church Avenue, but basically all the main thoroughfares are open. There's plenty of parking downtown. There's about 15,000 parking spaces. We recommend people park all around the Tucson Convention Center, also in all of the public city garages, and we have that information listed on the website. Then when you come into the festival, we would encourage you to trek the Tucson Meet Yourself Pathway to Adventure. Take that festival program and your passport and walk all the steps. We're actually going to have little steps.
Walk the festival before you even sample any of the food, if you can possibly hold up and bring a huge appetite. And perhaps
bring a doggy bag. And sample the foods, stop for a while in each of the three main areas of the festival, and really, you know, take your time to wander and to see what's going on. All of the performances are free. We have 6 stages with over 250 performances.
Wow.
We have 2 major folk arts areas with almost 100 folk artists demonstrating for free their craft. And then we have vendors. This year, in a kind of a new area, we have a marketplace. So you can also take home something unique, some handcrafted item. We have a local first marketplace with local businesses. That's kind of unique. So to bring a shopping bag and a doggy bag.
Something for everyone, right, Mirabel?
Absolutely. Yes.
And perhaps don't eat breakfast before you go.
Or eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at Tucson.
Oh, there
eat
you
yourself.
Go. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mirabel and Mia Hansen, for being with us today. And please visit the website. It's TucsonMeetYourself.org.
And it's this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Good luck. We'll see you at Tucson Meet Yourself.
Thank you very much, ladies.
12:46 on the Buckmaster Show, and talking about eating, how appropriate now that our next guest will be the Buckmaster Show contributor on nutrition. Jack Challen will be with us. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET. Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show from Tucson. Meet yourself, or as some say, Tucson, eat yourself. Now, we talk about nutrition on the Buckmaster Show with Jack Chalam, who is known as the Nutrition Reporter. Jack publishes a monthly newsletter under the same name. He's based in Tucson. He is a personal nutrition coach. He's also one of America's most trusted health writers, a member of the American Society for Nutrition, and best-selling author of more than 20 books, including his latest, No More Fatigue. Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's fun to be back on the show.
You know, adequate vitamin D and omega-3s may give breast cancer patients an edge. That's the lead story in the October edition of Nutrition Reporter, and I think that's some really good news.
This is really the biggest bunch of good news that most doctors are ignoring and most patients are totally unaware of. One study found that women with high blood levels of vitamin D, which you get either from standing in the sun or taking vitamin D supplements, significantly reduces the risk of breast cancer. Another study found that women who were diagnosed with breast cancer and began chemo, if they started with high vitamin D levels, their survival was much, much better compared with women who had low vitamin D levels.
So how much vitamin D should they be taking?
I would recommend 2,000 to 5,000 IU a day.
Which is not tremendously out of the question.
No,
I mean,
it isn't.
Not outrageous. I'm doing 2,000 a day myself.
Yeah, and I'm doing 8, and I get blood tests, and I basically just target an optimal level. And we're really talking about one little tiny gelatin capsule. It's not a horse pill to take. And any doctor can easily order a vitamin D test for you. And for men, it will also reduce the risk of many different types of cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer. So there's only real benefits here.
And the omega-3, so if you take that with the vitamin D, we know all about omega-3s, but we sometimes don't understand the proper dosage.
Yeah, and really, these are the two headliners in the current field of nutrition. The omega-3s, also known as fish oils, taking one or two capsules a day. And the dosages will vary a little bit from company to company. But, you know, everyone would do well taking one or two capsules a day.
And you also talk about omega-3 fish oils helping to reduce anxiety and inflammation. I mean, the list just goes on and on about the good things that omega-3 fish oil does for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of good research on the omega-3 fish oils and depression. And this is a recent study showing that taking the supplements reduced levels of anxiety. And then also reduced levels of inflammation. And anyone with aches or pains should really pay attention to that.
790-2040, 790-2040. Jack Chalom is with us. He is the nutrition reporter. If you have any supplement questions, Jack would be more than happy to talk with you. You talk about in the current edition of the Nutrition Reporter, you talk a little bit about chocolate. We're hearing how good chocolate is for you. Perhaps has some of this been a little bit overdone, Jack?
It has been overdone, and there's usually a surge in chocolates as kind of like a natural wonder drug type studies every couple of years. And
I think it's because the researchers just love eating chocolate.
I think that's probably
the research they're doing.
But a lot of these studies are funded by the big producers of chocolate. We all know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you look at the research, and it comes off like this is a cure-all. It's a real panacea. The problem is that there's a difference between chocolate and all the stuff that's added to chocolate, mainly sugar. Some types of chocolate have trans fats added. These things will neutralize the benefits of the very interesting health-promoting chemicals you have in pure chocolate. But pure chocolate is very bitter. You want to compromise, you can find high cacao content in some types of chocolate bars.
And it should be over about 60%, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you can go up to about 70 or 80. But
80, it gets really bitter.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And there's a little company in Santa Fe, New Mexico called Cacao Chocolates. Hmm. And they basically have, and I'm not affiliated with them, but they have basically mimicked what the ancient Central Americans did with chocolate. And you could buy these little clumps and mix them in a hot liquid. I've had it. It's an interesting flavor without it being bitter.
Cacao, K-A-K-A-W-A, chocolates. And they are out of Santa Fe. And Jack has no connection to that company here on the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah.
Maybe we wish we did if they're going to be doing real well. It sounds like they're starting to pick up in business. Vitamin B.
This is interesting. A study gave vitamin B2 supplements to people, and not only did their blood levels of B2 improve, but their hemoglobin, their red blood cell iron improved as well. Interesting connection there for people who are anemic and are having trouble getting their iron up.
Robert is on the Buckmaster Show live line for Jack Chalom. Go ahead, Robert.
Happy Columbus Day, Jack.
Thank you.
The purchase of the vitamin. Everybody's lying and saying that the other's not absorbable. So can you identify a brand that I could buy at Walgreens or Target that I don't have to pay $30 for? Let's take fish oil and multiple vitamins just for starters.
Well,
thank you, Robert.
Two of my favorite brands are Carlson and Solgar. Mm-hmm. And you can find these in most health food stores. I'm not sure about the drug stores. I've certainly been told Nature Made. It is a good quality drugstore brand. I like the health food store brands because you have more choice, and the ingredients tend to be a little bit cleaner in terms of the non-vitamin ingredients.
So Carlson, it was Solgar you also?
Yeah, like? Solgar, yeah. S-O-L-G-A-R.
Yeah, both are very good brands. Jack, quickly running out of time, we've talked about omega-3s, vitamin B, and also you were talking about probiotics. Do you recommend a probiotic?
There are a lot of good ones on the market. You know, locally you can go to any of the New Life health centers. I would look for one that is refrigerated, a brand that is refrigerated, just to preserve these natural health-promoting good bacteria.
Okay, Jack Chalom, he is the nutrition reporter. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor as well, and he appears once a month on this program. Where can folks get the nutrition reporter?
They can find a wealth of information up on my website, nutritionreporter.com.
And as far as your book, No More Fatigue?
They can order this through Amazon. There's the link on my website that'll take them right to Amazon after being able to look at a couple of free chapters.
Okay, thank you very much, Jack. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Mike Flowers and the gang, I strongly recommend if he is the man for any of your CPA needs. He's at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. It's going to do it for the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Hope to have you with us tomorrow live at 12:04 tomorrow right here on KVOI The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.